بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. الله سبحانه وتعالى has made certain things in this world that are inalienable. And from those comes the honor of the human being and the honor of the believer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ, that verily we have made noble the children of Adam, alayhi salam. In this process of our lives, sometimes we get involved in lowering ourselves, as Allah ta'ala mentions, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ, that He made us from the best of forms, but then we lower ourselves to the lowest of the low. That's our own personal mistake. But that will be something we'll be held accountable for in the Day of Judgment, that we lowered ourselves. And in the end, we're not harming anyone else but ourselves. But when we speak against someone else, or we violate the rights of someone else, now we're taking something away from someone that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left to be untouched. So if I have honor and I ruin it myself, I haven't violated anyone else. And technically, I guess I violated Allah, but no one else. But if I violate the rights of someone else and I've ruined your rights, something Allah ta'ala has given you, a birthright to remain someone of honor in this world. These rights and duties of brotherhood we've been discussing for the past week are there to protect that honor. This is why we support someone in their material need and their financial need, in their personal needs, to honor them and let them maintain their honor. This is why when you give charity, if you look at the way charity is described by the Salaf, when we give charity, we're supposed to thank the person who accepts our charity. Because the reality is, if they were not there, then we would have wealth that's still filthy, or potentially would not have wealth that's purified, or we would then misuse that wealth. So Allah Ta'ala gave us that opportunity, and that person was the means. Now the third right and duty is of the tongue, and we spoke a little about the tongue of one to speak and one to maintain silence. The Musannif Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he mentions the next part of this chapter, this same chapter. And he says that not only is it necessary for us to abstain from speaking about other people behind their back, saying things that should not be said, but he said it's also necessary for us to refrain from thinking bad things behind their back when things shouldn't be thought. It's hard to say, it's hard to imagine. The reality is to not speak about someone is easy. But to not have bad or ill thoughts about people is next to impossible. But the people of the past, they had such purity of their hearts that they would refrain from even allowing evil thoughts from seeping in. And it's not that this is impossible. If this was impossible, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would never have told us about it in the Quran. He says what? Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ijtanibu, to refrain. This is a command for us. From what? From dhan. What's dhan? Dhan is a thought. In this case, it refers to a negative thought. Why? Inna ba'd al-dhanni ithm. Because often, at least some of the thoughts that people have for others can lead or themselves are sinful. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to refrain from thinking about people. Now, dhan can also mean suspicion. But the reality is that for many of us, these thoughts are so common, we don't even recognize they're happening. And if I meet a brother and I finish the prayer, and I turn around to give the khatira, and he gets up and he walks away, what's going to happen? Oh, he doesn't like me. Oh, he must just think I'm a person of bid'ah because of my turban. Oh, he doesn't even care enough to stay and listen to what I have to say. If he sat to speak, I would listen to him. 100 thoughts would race through my heart. Now when I greet him next, Assalamu alaikum. The smile is there, the two hands, lowered head, tilted to the side, everything, you know. But in the heart is what? You walked out on my talk yesterday. And it's so natural for people, sometimes we can't even identify it. Someone comes, you're looking towards that person to say salam, that person walks right by you. Who does he think he is? Doesn't even say salam to me? We don't know, this person just had a family member who just got rushed to the hospital. He's just coming to pray, so he fulfills or she fulfills the obligation of praying and then is going to go straight to the hospital. No one thinks that. Everyone thinks, well, how could they not say salam to me? Person is outside, standing with a box of charity. You see this person going to his pocket and counting the bills in his pocket, put it back in his pocket, and there are quite a few bills. And as you walk out, the meager few dollars we have, we put in there, the tens or hundreds of dollars that he has, he just walks by without giving it. And we just think, subhanAllah, I had $2, I gave all of my $2. This person had so much wealth, I saw him counting with my own eyes. He just walked out with it. We don't think that there's a person who is stranded on the highway and they need a tow truck, and he was counting to make sure that he got the text before Jummah, that after Jummah he has the exact amount to go give that brother, or else he has to run to the ATM and pull something out. Our Messenger ﷺ has taught us that 70 excuses is a minimum obligation upon the believer towards his brother or sister. Why? Because actually most of the time our negative thoughts, they don't give us any benefit whatsoever. If we think about our negative thoughts that we have for each other sometimes, oftentimes they're not even true. Then shaitan has used that to fuel dislike and animosity, hatred and separation between us and the hearts of our brothers and sisters. Then when we find out it wasn't true, we don't go and say, you know, there's an interesting story, a true story, that one of the Mauritanian scholars, he was mentioning, that one of the brothers from the West Coast was mentioning that one of the Mauritanian scholars, they were with a gathering. And in the gathering, a brother came out and he was saying that I looked at this person and I saw him in a certain way. He was dressed in a way that seemed traditional and seemed, you know, like he was maybe someone who was a Maulvi or whatever the case may be, someone who studied, but not someone necessarily of dunyawi success. So he looked at that person and he immediately had thoughts about that person. Then they parted. When they saw each other next, that scholar went to the person and began to apologize. The person said, why are you apologizing? So the reason I'm apologizing is because when I saw you, that immediately I had a thought about you, and I realized that it wasn't appropriate for me to have a thought about you without ever meeting you. Now both of these individuals had thoughts against each other. Alhamdulillah, one stepped forward and cleared the air right away. If not, imagine when you have two opposite poles as magnets, they just push each other, they repel each other away. And that's what negative thoughts become. They become these opposite poles, not those poles, opposite poles in our hearts, and they begin to push each other away, they repel us from each other. So our Prophet ﷺ has taught us what? To begin to do what? Give excuse after excuse after excuse. Now there's two specific things about giving excuses that we'll discuss tomorrow, because, you know, we reached a minute away from the time limit. But the idea is that we have to begin to practically practice this. That when we see something, we have to begin to put that block and barrier that won't let a negative thought enter the heart and take root. And how do we do that? We give an excuse. And when our mind counters that excuse, we have our heart present a second excuse. And when our mind counters that excuse, when we run out of excuses, maybe we have 15 excuses we ran out, then what should we say? We shouldn't say, subhanAllah, I gave 15. We should think, I have 55 excuses left according to the sunnah. I am so weak, I can't give all the 70. I must have something wrong with myself. And if someone somehow miraculously makes it a 70, then they should just assume that one, they miscounted, or two, go for it twice the sunnah, do 70 more. But the reality is that if these thoughts come in, then the tongue will subsequently begin to speak. Why? The tongue is known as tarjumanul qalb. It's the interpreter. It's the relayer of what's within the heart. So inshallah, tomorrow we'll go specifically to those two ways the Musannif rahimahullah mentioned about what to maintain out of the heart and keep within the heart. But for now, we should begin to practice this, right, that we have over one another, that I don't think anything about you, nor you against me. And if we do, we put 70 excuses into our lives, into our hearts right away. We ask Allah Ta'ala to give us tawfiq to make us amongst those whose hearts are pure for one another, no matter what we see or what we hear. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to give us tawfiq to make us amongst those who are able to provide excuses for our brothers. For in the end, we know that we love each other for the sake of Allah. And if they are truly for the sake of Allah, then there must be something that is causing us to misunderstand what they're doing. Wa akhra da'wan, alhamdulillah.